What up, though? I want to welcome y'all back to This Is What We're Doing Now. You know, we're going old school with it today. You got just the two of us.
We can just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
You and I.
Old school with everybody.
Yeah, I like it. You went high and I went low. That was good.
And my sis, Ty Boogie. What up, sis?
Hey, peeps. What's happening? Welcome back.
Hey, don't ever use the word peeps again.
Why?
Let's just throw it out there for two. If you're wondering why I got a hat on, I wear hats every day of my daily life, but today is a special occasion.
Show the people. Show the
people. I'm not going to show them, but somehow I got sunburn on my forehead, and it's two different colors. It's never happened because I'm a black man, and I've never got sunburn. Surprised the shit out of me. I didn't even know what it was. I just thought I had dry skin. Turns out I sunburned myself at work pretty bad, so I got a hat on today. Because my forehead is on fire, and under the hat, if it's totally filled with aloe vera gel.
So now that we've caught up with your sunburn ass, let's go ahead and get started with the show. So I want to start off this week by talking about what I am going to call living, breathing, moving, and creating Black excellence. Beyonce, Black is King, has dropped on Disney Plus. Tell me, do you feel somehow enriched in your Blackness? How you feel about it?
Man, I did. I thought it was super fucking dope. I actually just got done watching it before we got on here. It was different. I didn't know it was just going to be an album. It was an hour and 25 minutes. The visuals were out of this world fucking amazing. It actually reminded me a lot of the visuals, especially the song with Kendrick Lamar the most, reminded me a lot of a girls group I already listened to, who is Oshun. A lot of the visuals remind me of some of the stuff they do in their music. She collaborated with a lot of artists. I thought that was dope. The song with Move Forever, that song with Hov, is just, it would, with the Childish Gambino feature on it, it was killer, man. I think Beyonce showed off what one of the things that makes her a great artist, and that is the people she puts around her.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think that, first of all, let me just say that I don't know if I'm just super emotional or if it was just all of the imagery put together, but I literally like was damn near in tears the whole time. I think that, especially for right now, in the time that we're in, when we're in a pandemic, you can't really go anywhere. There's not really anything on TV other than the news. And all you're seeing is this person got killed, that person got killed, protest, COVID-19. For this to drop right now and be such full of such positive Black imagery, which is the complete opposite of what we generally see on TV or even just in the media for Black people, it was so touching. Like Brown Skin Girl, the part where she is like, she says Naomi and Lupita, and then she talks to Kelly and she's singing to Kelly. It is one of the cutest best friend moments I think I've ever seen in my life.
Where her daughter singing by herself was super dope. I loved it. Like I said, I think one of the things, I think that's what made me think about it today. One, watching this is one of the things that I noticed that Beyonce is always good at is she was known as a selfish member of Destiny's Child, let's be honest.
That's true. It's true.
But one of the things she's been good at in her solo career is letting the people around her shine and noticing that that doesn't dim her light. Her backup dancers always fucking kill it. She gave people solos that probably wouldn't have got a solo in anywhere in other places. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's always been able to kind of incorporate other people in her music and let them get their shit off.
And what I thought was important, and let me just say that this is not just a music video, because it really did tell, if you follow the narrative, it really did tell the story of the Lion King from like a very human perspective.
I actually didn't know that this was a part of the Lion King. I thought it was just a separate album from that. And she did a good job with incorporating just enough pieces of The Lion King, but still making it feel like it was her own shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was like, I really, honestly, I just loved it from top to bottom.
After watching this, I think now we need the Lion King rewritten as a Doughboy story, where your uncle's trying to take your father's spot, and you want that spot, and then you...
Don't put your whole idea out there. Somebody got to pay you for this.
I might have to write this myself. I might have to start it, though, you know.
I ain't mad at that. But, okay, so I was checking the blogs, as usual. What do you think about the people who are, like, No Name? Based? Have you seen what No Name said in regards to Beyonce's Black is King?
You talking about the rapper No Name? No, yes. I haven't. I haven't seen that.
She tweeted, "We love an African aesthetic draped in capitalism. Hope we remember the Black folks on the continent whose daily lives are impacted by U.S. imperialism. If we can uplift the imagery, I hope we can uplift those who will never be able to access it. Black liberation is a global struggle." Now, let's just say the Beehive is dragging the fuck out of No Name.
Africa looks like there, because the imagery is a lot of people in Africa's real lives. So what I think that's what she's getting confused. I think she in her head, the aesthetic of Africa is the Feed the Children commercial, is what she's making it seem like.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, in my mind, it can't help me but make me wonder and make me think, like, are we just not used to seeing Africa as a continent of happy people who don't just live in huts and who aren't just hungry and who don't need us to send them rice?
Everyone I know who has went to Africa tell me about how beautiful Nigeria and Senegal and all the places are. Even how culturally advanced they, not only how culturally advanced they are, but how 21st century advanced they are. So that's what I think I'm struggling to understand what she means with her tweet.
I agree, but I also think that by Beyonce incorporating so many African artists, so many people who are big names in Africa, that is kind of giving them, shining the American light on them, because it honestly made me want to go listen to some of their music, because some of them was bopping and I was in the living room like, wait a minute now.
Also, she don't know what Beyonce did with the budget for that. She don't know who she hired, how much she paid them. You know, at the end of the day, if she's hiring people from the continent to work on her projects, to be in her projects, to be involved in her projects, is that not putting money back into the continent? I mean, she doesn't know any of these things. So I hate when people do stuff like that, because you're basing your whole tweet, your whole opinion off speculation and what you're saying somebody else should be doing with what they doing, when you really should be asking yourself, what the fuck are you doing?
I feel like you have an issue with No Name because of the whole J. Cole thing, but...
No, I'm not. J. Cole was... Side note, J. Cole, it's a rumor out right now that J. Cole is training for the NBA, so just throwing that out there. I wish my boy Cole good luck. I heard he's going to get a 10-day contract on the Charlotte Hornets. So.
A 10-day contract? What the hell he going to do in 10 days?
He made it. Because if you actually know J. Cole and you follow his path, every album has been NBA-related. Because that's what he does. He actually plays basketball with NBA players in their offseason. He goes to a lot of the pickups. He gets trained by some of the best NBA trainers in the world, Chris Brinkley. You've got the Come Up, Friday Night Lights, Sideline Story. I mean, he's always incorporated that basketball theme into his music. So, I think because it's relatable to real life, kind of the process that you go through, I think he's related that process to music. So he's always incorporated. And I think, hell, obviously he's a big fan. So maybe that's just what he wants to do. I'll support it.
I support him playing basketball, but I'm just saying, if you're going to get a contract, sign me for more than 10 days.
A 10-day contract is a non-guaranteed contract. You get paid, but it's to see if you're going to be what they good enough to be on the team, basically.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
And Cole is 35, so, you know.
That is fair. I mean, yeah, that's fair. But LeBron is in his 30s, and he's still out there playing like he's fresh out of high school.
LeBron's also going to end up the all-time leading scorer, and he's been doing this for
35 years. It's been a long time since I left you.
17 years.
Yeah, 17. Like I was a kid back then, you know.
And he has not slowed down. It's kind of impressive, honestly.
Since we're talking about LeBron, and this is a topic that I just know you'll be able to talk about, so I'm going to bring it up. So right now, the NBA has returned to TV. They have quarantined in their little bubble for 14 days. We're seeing other sports like baseball having to slow down their reopening. But the NBA is back, and it's in full effect. We've had a couple games on TV now. So can you tell me if this is the – because I'm confused. Is this the beginning of a new season or the end of the last season? Because I don't know. Let's start.
We are going to finish the last 2 months. Really, we only had 2 or 3 months left in the season. They had finished 60 games, so they had maybe a month left for games, and then they were going to jump to the playoffs. The playoffs would have actually been wrapping up nearing the middle of this month, maybe. So we're going to finish it like that. They're just finishing out the rest of that season. They did 3 scrimmages, eight games that they're going to finish off from the season, and you're going to go roll into the playoffs. The reason they included those scrimmages and games because their money, a lot of their money, besides the arena money, it comes from contracts that they have with Turner Sports and ABC, and they needed to at least finish a certain amount of games to fulfill those contracts so that the players could get paid, because technically during the time off, there were only 3 players in the league. 3 or 4 players in the league who were getting paid for the time off. And that's because they got that put in their contracts. And all those players were Rich Paul's players, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Draymond Green, and one other. And that's just because he's a great agent and he was smart enough to put that in their contracts a long time ago.
So how are you feeling about the games now that there's no fans in the stands and it's just them playing in front of?
I like it. Honestly, you don't notice it a whole lot. I think the one thing you do notice is the camera angles are different. Since they don't have the actual camera guys on the sideline, it's kind of more of watching NCAA tournament where the camera pull it back up off the court and you're kind of looking down from a farther view. Because during the regular season, they damn near in the player's face. You see the sweat beads fall off his forehead. You're not getting that right now. But I think the NBA is doing a good job. I think they've been real innovative with it. Like, they've done something with what's called the virtual fan, where you can tap in and you virtually put on the screen from your home into the arena. So I think that's dope.
Are you planning on being a virtual fan?
No. I don't think I'm planning on being a virtual fan. Because I think the virtual fan shit could possibly blow up in their face. Like, I think they got a lag going just in case something like that happens. So they have a live feed lag. Because what happens if I jump on as a virtual friend, I stand up naked or something? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, it's happened in meetings across the country, so.
So I think they do have, like, a virtual feed lag. Okay. But, it's got to be the new normal for right now. So I think they're doing a very good job at it. They have, like, wristbands that monitors their body temperature and everything. They get tested once a day, I think. Their tests take 15 minutes to check out. They gave them all of one of the Orlando resorts. They have, like, 6 or 7 hotels that all the teams are staying in. They have them separated by floors. They gave them access to the golf courses. They brought in and built a barbershop on site. They're keeping certain workers there to run all the food distribution there. So NBA players have access to fishing. They got access to everything you want to have access to for 2 months until the season's finished.
So what do you think about people saying that we understand, you know, that the NBA is a corporation and this is people's jobs, and we want people to be able to work safely. But as an average American, I cannot be tested for COVID every day. I don't have a wristband that tells me if my temperature spikes or if there's a potential exposure. I don't have that. So what do you think about the people who say that really and truly it's not fair?
For one, if you have an Apple Watch, you do have that. You check your temperature. heart rate, RB, oxygen levels. You can actually do all that from your Apple Watch now. And they sell different Garmin sells ones. They sell different kinds that can do stuff like that for you. NBA just has specific ones. So we can't say that we don't have access to that. Now, as far as the testing goes, that's a little trickier because one thing about it is celebrities from the jump have had access to testing that we didn't have. Joe Rogan talks on this podcast before everybody else was getting tested. He was getting tested once a day, I think he was saying. Or he has a guy that he calls and comes, does a test. They're in California, some doctors are coming to do tests on site for the rich and famous because they see it as another money grab, which is the same thing the pharmaceutical companies want to see the vaccine as, another money grab. Even if there is something right now, I just actually seen something on Yahoo where a Jewish hospital somewhere, I can't remember where it was, they said it was something called Trichor that actually minimizes the symptoms of COVID-19 to nothing more than a common cold. And it's only in your system for 3 to 5 days and basically kills it off. That was on Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And they're saying they're sending that to phase 3 testing. What they don't want is something like that that's already out. They actually want a vaccine, I think, to where they can charge you money and make money off of it.
In the light of what's happening with the NBA, how they have quarantined their players and everything, we're also seeing the juxtaposition to that of what's happening in Major League Baseball, where they every day you're just hearing about 6 or 7 players who tested positive for COVID-19. My question is, baseball, what I heard was they allowed their players to quarantine at home, right?
Well, what happened was baseball was initially going to go and try to move all the players, build facilities in Arizona and have all their games there and do a bubble style. Mm-hmm. Women's, I think the MLS women's soccer did it and did it for their whole season and didn't have a positive test at all. They did a bubble style. The NBA is now doing it. The NFL is not showing to be very effective in the NFL or baseball. Baseball was going to do the bubble. Their players association voted against it, saying that they didn't want to do the bubble. Infringement on rights, they said they would sit out the whole season. But honestly, they're going to have to sit out the season anyway. I doubt that we will see Major League Baseball this season because of this.
Baseball is like one of – correct me if I'm wrong, but baseball is one of the richest sports. I just really feel like they could have done a better job at protecting, because they pay those players a lot of money. They could have done a better job at protecting those actual players. I just don't see a reason.
But the players voted against the bubble style. The players didn't want it. So I don't know if you can actually blame baseball as the entity when they wanted to do it and the players didn't want to do it.
I mean, I guess that's true. But then if that's the case, this is how I feel, because basically what everyday people are being told is, if you can't do what we want you to do, then you need to go find another job, right? I feel like it should have been the same thing for baseball. I don't care how much money you currently have. If baseball is your job and this is what your boss is telling you to do, then you have to do it. Like, I travel for work and I also live with my mother. So ultimately, I can tell my job, like, hey, I don't want to travel, but they can also say, hey, we hired you to travel, so if you don't want to do that, then you're not fulfilling the terms of your job and we can fire you. So how is that not the same for rich baseball players?
I think one of the things is, and I think this ties back to police, is this is the upside and downside of having a union. Baseball has they have a union. The NBA has a union. Cops have unions. One thing about the union is sometimes union employees want dumb shit or want to be – sometimes the union has so much control over a situation that it ties the hands of others, such as when cops kill someone or when cops do something. They don't want to go through all the paperwork that the union is going to pull them through. Anytime a cop gets reprimanded, they have to have a union representative on site. Stuff like that makes it harder to tell people that they're fired, or you know, it's hard to fire. I'm in a union myself. It's hard to fire a union employee. There's so many steps you have to go through. And I think in situations like this, it kind of screws you. That's why I'm against police unions also. So.
I totally agree. And I think that any union, and I feel the same way about teachers unions. There's so many bad teachers that are still in the system simply based on the fact that they are a part of a teachers union. I think that
I'm all for unions, but I think some of the protection has to be taken out of unions.
Yeah.
And like our union, they do a 3-month process of, okay, you got 3 months kind of probationary process until you're actually in the union. But after that 3 months, once you can be, it's easy to be good for 3 months.
Yeah.
Now, tell somebody who's a shitty employee to be good for another 5 to 10 to 20 years. You have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's very true. I was going to say, like, I'm all for unions, but I think that sometimes the terms of the contracts that are negotiated with unions hinder the public more so than help. So I think that definitely in the name of baseball, they allow the players to make a bad decision. So
I agree.
Alrighty, so we are going to move right along to the next topic, which is Netflix has literally bought up every black show that you could think about except Martin.
And the Parkers. I love the Parkers. What the fuck was that?
No, actually, the Parkers are going to be on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix.
I don't want to see the Parkers.
I love the Parkers. Don't play me. Do not play.
It'd be killing you, bro.
We're the Parkers.
Yeah, whatever the fuck they say.
Oh, I used to love that show. No, but I'm super excited. So we have Moesha, Half and Half, the Parkers,
Sister,
all the shows from back in the 90s when black TV actually meant something. How are you feeling about this?
And I think it's dope. And my girlfriend, actually, I sent this to her. She's watching a very, very terrible, I'm not even sure what it's called right now, but it is one of the worst soap operas. It's written by Tyler Perry, I'm not gonna lie. It's 45 episodes a season, and every time I see her watching, I tell her to turn it off because the acting is awful. And she was like, well, now I can stop watching this because it's getting out of hand. So I'll be glad when they start dropping stuff so that she can switch gears a little bit.
I know exactly the show that you're talking about, and I watched one episode, and they literally threw a black baby into an alligator-infested river, and
I think she said it's like fucking 8 seasons and 45 episodes a season. We got to get that off the TV.
Yeah, so. And whoever I was watching it with, I cursed them out, and I said, how dare you even make me watch some bullshit.
And I don't even think she's watching it. I think it's one of those grandma things where she's on her phone and doing other stuff and using that as background noise.
Yeah, like, so I'm excited because I feel like I get to catch up with all of my friends from my childhood, you know, like Brandy's
right
there, and Ray J's gonna be there, like, and I'm also super excited because I literally got on Netflix yesterday and Moesha's already there. So I was like,
I've seen a lot of people saying that they were getting on there and watch Moesha. And she also just dropped the album. So she out here trending right now. Brandy out here trending.
Are you excited that it could, that like black people's voices are really being heard? We've been asking them to bring these shows back for the longest.
Right. Right. I think that's dope. I think Netflix is a double-edged sword. I think a lot of networks are right now. I think once all the Black Lives Matter stuff happened, you saw Amazon Prime jump on it. You saw Hulu jump on it. You saw Netflix jump on it. You saw every major streaming service jump on it, created a section called Black Lives Matter Movement, such and such. They created something like that. Only thing with that is, it's like, are you really so here to support, or are you here to jump on a popular train? I think, but some stuff like this, I think it shows support because you are putting the syndication for these people. This is a livelihood. one thing about TV shows, if you're on a good TV show, you can eat for the rest of your life off of it. Syndication money is long, like, for real. There's actors out here, the people from Seinfeld, other than Jerry Seinfeld, you've never seen them again, but they're probably making millions a year because their show is widely syndicated. The Office, Seinfeld, hell, Friends.
Think about how much Raising Simone has made off just the, not even from when the Cosby Show was first on air, but just the 20-30 years of syndication from that show. It's fucking crazy.
Right. It really does. A good TV show provides a livelihood. I need to be on a good TV show, if anybody's listening. Just make me the new bruh man. Make me the new bruh man from the fifth blow, that type of character where I jump in. I just try to make like 30, 40 racks a year, sit back money off of it on top of with my working job, and I'll be good.
I mean, you should have been a child actor if that's the case.
Right. I'd probably be out here like Orlando Brown if I'd have been a child actor.
Yeah, no, Mama would not have that. Mama would have still beat your ass like she did not care. You'd be the same person you are today. Trust me. Mama don't play. Okay, tell me this. What show are you most looking forward to seeing once Netflix is all up and running?
I'm gonna go with either Sister Sister or One on One, just because those are two of the biggest shows that I watch. Probably Sister Sister more than anything. Sister Sister, I think more than anything, I'll probably go binge watch.
Go Home, Roger. Yeah, no, love that. I think, okay, my two, like, I love Sister Sister, love One on One, but my two is gonna be Girlfriends.
I never watched Girlfriends, and I think it's because I was younger. So as an adult, it may be something I go back and rewatch to really understand.
I absolutely think it'll be something that you enjoy. And I also know how much you love Tracy Ellis Ross.
With her. Yeah. In love with her. And the two lady lumps she got on her back.
See? Exactly. But my other one, and this, I feel like this show was so underrated, Half and Half. Like, I am so excited about that show.
Half and Half, yeah.
Yeah, like, I literally, like, I used to watch that all the time, even after it went off the air. It was one of my favorites. I'm so excited that they're going to put that on Netflix. Booyah. Like, to me, this is a slam dunk for Netflix. I definitely think that if these shows do well, it'll give Netflix a reason to add more.
People love, especially our generation, we love having that feeling of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, we don't have those type TV shows anymore. We don't have the 106 and Parks where we got to get home after school to watch the top 10 countdown, even though we don't watch these same videos for 7-8 weeks in a row, or we want to see our favorite artists on there, or it's a new episode of Sister Sister or Saturday morning cartoon. Like, we don't actually have those things anymore. Almost all cartoons now are tailored more towards adults or very small children. We don't have the Disney Channel anymore, really. We don't have the Even Stevens, the Xenons, the Disney Channel. Like, yeah, we have Disney Plus, but like I said, it's Disney Plus is filled with nothing but nostalgia. So I think this is a throwback to a better time for a lot of us. Not even a better time, just a more peaceful, more calm, a more easygoing time in life for a lot of us. I'm going to make me some bologna sandwiches and drink some strawberry Kool-Aid and watch Sister Sister.
No, you know what I literally just thought is that I'm going to, when we're done recording this, I'm going to turn on Recess and get me a big bowl of cereal. And I'm going to watch Recess and eat cereal like it's Saturday morning.
I still do it. You know, I've been binge-watched every episode of Recess. Hey Arnold's on Hulu. I've watched every single episode of Hey Arnold. And Doug is on Hulu. Also watch every single episode of Doug. I use your Disney Plus account. I watch things on there quite often. I'm currently watching Avengers on there, anime. I'm a huge cartoon head. You see me sitting here with the Luke Cage show on cartoons, Marvel, comic books. I grew up on that stuff, so it excites me.
I think Netflix is definitely tapping into us millennials' need for nostalgia, especially right now when the world is so hard. Like, nobody wants to fucking adult. So bring everything back from my childhood. Now, if Netflix started bringing back cartoons, like, bring back Pepper Ann, bring back Kids Next Door.
That's the thing. Pepper, Pepper and Disney Channel, so we would have to wait for that to drop on Disney Plus. But I did hear, though, I heard Netflix was in talks to acquire all the old Nickelodeon stuff, as far as Nick at Night and the Nickelodeon cartoons go, as Rocket Power, all that stuff. I heard Netflix was possibly going to acquire all of it. Hulu has some of it, but I heard Netflix was trying to acquire the rights.
You know what I would love to see them bring back? Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers was lit. Real Monsters.
Do you remember Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
But yes, Space Ghost was an adult program. That was the beginning of Toonami. Space Ghost was one of the first things to venture off into that world. Then you had like, I can't remember what it was called, but it had the French fries and the hamburger. Now I've actually seen a couple episodes in the dark, and it's so much funnier because I get the
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That's what it was called.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's so much funnier because I get the content.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the content more, so it's so much funnier.
Oh, great shows. Okay, so much for nostalgia. Meg the Stallion and Tory Lanez. Now, nobody really knows what happened, but word on the street is that they went to a party with Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner may have been receiving a little bit too much attention from Tory Lanez. On the way home, Meg Thee Stallion and Tory got into some kind of verbal altercation, which resulted in Meg being shot in the foot, in the feet, because I believe it was both feet. So once in each foot. So let me know what you're feeling, what you heard, what's going on with this.
At first, I even gave you a call. Like, how do you feel about it? I asked you basically like your thoughts on it. I didn't know all the details of it.
We still don't know all the details, but go ahead.
Oh, we only know speculation. Only thing I saw was that Adam, I think his name is Adam 22, as a podcast host, talked about that he had an inside source that somebody told him that Meg was basically berating Tory Lanez in the back, talking about his career, his height, and she was whooping his ass, which is pretty big weight difference. Meg is almost 6 feet tall, probably around between 180, 170, 200 pounds. Tory Lanez is, they said on his arrest report, he was listed as 5'2", 5'3", and 125 pounds. I heard she was beating his ass. And see, I thought she was beating his ass. He put out a gun and shot her in the foot. Kind of like a Harlem Nights scenario, to be 100% honest with it. Then you hear that she was actually exiting the vehicle, wanting to get out, and he got mad and shot her in both feet. I think it was an attack, but I think one of the things about the Tory Lanez Meg deal is people these days are so caught up in visual. A black man's not dead until you see him visually dying, and that's when it gets serious for you. A woman isn't assaulted until you see her visually being assaulted. See, you have that video proof. I think that's one of the drawbacks of the technological era that we live in, that I can't just say I was assaulted. I got to show you proof. You got to see the bruise and then the scar before you understand it as a real thing. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where a lot of people are at. Then I think that's why I think it would be a bigger deal if, sad to say, if people had the visual that they feel like they need. I don't know if it's a perception thing, perceptual reality thing, but I think it's more to do with the age we live in and how important technology is to us, that we want to see the pictures of your feet, Meg. Like, we want to see the video of him shooting you. Like, we don't need to see that to understand that it happens. I think that's what people are getting confused.
I absolutely agree. And I also think that it's that part of that is a product of just the society that we live in. Like, it ain't real unless you show me proof that it's real. But I think that we as a society need to stop expecting people to put their pain on full display for us, because that's really what people wanted from Meg. They wanted her to make a statement. They wanted to see the bullet wounds. They wanted to know exactly what happened before people would take it seriously. I mean, you saw Cameron and 50 Cent and people like that, like, literally making a joke out of the fact that this woman had been shot. Where is our empathy for one another?
I agree. I think that's a weird dynamic that we've become so accustomed to seeing pain through technology that's how we have to see it and perceptualize it to understand it. Is we have to see the video of people dying, being beat, whipped, abused to really get it through for it to process in our neurological systems. That's what we have to see. I think that's a weird dynamic. I think that's a drawback of technology, a terrible, terrible drawback of technology.
I agree. I think in a lot of ways, because we always have a screen in our face in some kind of way, and because everything is so readily accessible, including violence, we have become desensitized to a lot of things, and that includes other people's pain. Like, we think that other people's pain is something to joke about and laugh about. And I understand that we as a culture, generally, that's how we deal with our pain, is through jokes and laughter. But we also need to learn that other people's pain is not our comic relief.
We talked about the fact that I said, and we both had agreed on it, if I'm not mistaken, that no matter how the situation went, people are gonna get their seven chuckles. It don't matter if Tory was getting his ass beat, they would have made, if he would have just, imagine Tory Lanez would have, either way, he was wrong. What I'm saying is, imagine if, flip the scenario, Meg attacked Tory, beat the fuck out of him, he had bruises and scarring, we saw pictures of it, people would have clowned him for getting beat up by a girl and not doing nothing.
Oh, hell yeah. And it would have been dudes, I'd have shook that bitch or something, like, you know what I'm like.
If he would have physically put hands on Meg, other than shooting her, people would have clowned him. Now that he shot her, people are clowning him and her. I think no matter how it went, because of the way the internet is and what it's made up of, people were going to take it there.
It's a lose-lose either way. Because Tory Lanez, not 2 weeks before that, had just said he was about to stop being the nigga who was carrying around a gun for no reason. So why did you have this gun if you out with the group of females?
He's a felon, so he wasn't supposed to have the gun in the first place, from what I understand. And from what I'm, from the report, a lot of reports that are coming out now, since he is from Toronto, Canada, Tory Lanez is possibly going to get kicked out of the U.S. for good over this.
We are not supposed to be a fan of cancel culture, but I think that we also need to do a better job of protecting women as a culture. Because think about it this way, and this is literally what I equate everything to now, because this is the easiest example to give people. R. Kelly, everybody knew what he was doing for 20 years, and nobody protected those girls coming in and out of his life. We can't have another scenario where there's a man who is committing these kinds of atrocities towards women, and we let it go on for 20 years and we know that it's happening. We can't keep doing that.
Let me ask you this. Is there a way to redeem himself? Is there a way? Do we still listen to Tory Lanez? How do we navigate it? Do you think he'll still have his fan base? Do people still listen to him? How do you think this goes for him?
We're all entitled to our own opinion and to our own free will. There will still be people, and probably 97.3% of them will be female, who will still listen to Tory Lanez and who will still spend their money with him. My thing is, I'm not putting no money towards Tory Lanez. Like, I probably wasn't in the first place, but I'm definitely not now. And I know that we don't necessarily know the whole story about what happened. That's completely fine, because everything comes to the light. But what I do know is, you shot a female in her feet 2 times.
Obviously had enough competence to make sure he shot her below the knee, as not for an attempted murder charge.
So, okay, so looking at it that way, what like, honestly, as a man, what do you think about this whole situation, even if she was putting her hands on him? And even I think it's, the weight and height difference, is it okay?
No, it's not okay at all. I think it's a coward's move to do. I don't think there's an explanation or even a sorry you can really give for doing it. You did it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't really no owning up to it. People know you did it, you did it. And he hasn't come out and said anything about it. There's actually been videos of him out partying and stuff instead. No, I think it's a punk move. You're a coward for doing something like that, especially to a woman. And that's not to diminish the strength or power of women. That's more to say as there's other ways to handle that situation. There's always more than it's a right and wrong way to handle a situation, and he chose the latter, unfortunately.
There has to be some type of repercussion, and I'm all a fan of restorative justice. I feel like Chris Brown is a good example of somebody to look at who I feel like has, and people disagree with this. I don't care. I feel like Chris Brown has worked his way back into being able to deserve for people to spend money with Chris Brown. I do.
Why do you feel that way?
Because number one, Chris Brown did his time. He did his time. Number two, Chris Brown apologized. And number three, even though Chris Brown and Rihanna are not together, she forgave him and they have a cordial relationship to one another. Even if they can't be together. Like, I think you have to look at, like I said, restorative justice. The justice is not owed to us as the people. The justice is owed to the person who he did wrong. So at the point where Meg forgives him, I feel like society should forgive him.
You know, I think that's something that people miss a lot, is that at the end of the day, no matter how we feel about Tory Lanez and this situation, it's what's most important is how Meg feels about him in this situation.
President Donald Trump is looking to postpone the November 2020 election. Now, people are saying that he's looking to do this mainly because he is losing in the polls. But he's basically saying that he does not feel like it is safe for people to go out and vote. And he is not a fan of mail-in or absentee ballots because he feels like that'll lead to election fraud, even though he has never actually voted in person. What do you think?
I think that his narcissism is showing in full effect. I think his want in that I can't lose narcissism, that I have to be on top, I have to be number one. I think that that narcissistic trait is what's propelling him to do this. I don't think he can stomach actually losing. I think if he loses, he'll tell people to riot and he'll go on a whole press junket about how he was cheated out of the election.
Mm-hmm. I truly believe that when he does lose, he is going to drum up his base so much that there will be far right riots in the United States. And
but he's banning TikTok also. Apparently he hates fucking TikTok and he's about to ban TikTok.
Because he's mad at China. He's mad at China because they're making
Yeah, they're making fun of him on TikTok. But I also did read on almost every news source across the spectrum, as far from CNN to Fox to the Washington Post, liberal and conservative news sources kind of both agree that the algorithm that TikTok uses is actually dangerous because of how much information you give them. Mm-hmm. But hell, they got all my information anyway.
Probably if you look across all the platforms that you use in your phone, all the information is there anyway.
That whole little thing that pops up now on every website with the "Will you allow our cookie?" giving them the access to your information.
Yeah, like everything in your phone, everything in your computer, whatever device you're using, they have access to it already. But that's beside the point. Do you think that that's just another one of his distraction tactics that he's using to distract people from the real issues of the fact that, like, the United States has fallen?
No, I think because of who Trump is, it truly bothers him. Like, I think certain shit really, really just gets under his skin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, I think he does have these times where he's using things as distraction tactics. I think he has these times where he's like, these motherfuckers, like, But I think this is one of those times where it's really, really just eating away at him.
It bothers him that much, but, you know, 150,000 people needlessly dying in the United States rolls off your skin like you a fucking duck in water. While we're speaking about the election, let's move on to Kanye West. He had a rally in, what was it, North Carolina?
South Carolina. He had a rally in South Carolina.
He had a rally in South Carolina for his 2020 election campaign for president. And during the rally, he talked about abortion rights and how he's against abortion rights. He stated that Harriet Tubman did not free the slaves. She sent them to work for other white people. He talked about how he wanted to abort his first child. Just a myriad of different topics. So let me ask you, are you for Kanye for president? And if not, why not?
No and no. I honestly think Kanye, the Twitter rant more of is what got me.
I was going to go into that next. That was the next.
Kim Kardashian's mom, Chris Jong-un, I probably laughed for 20 minutes. Saying that they're Trump supporters, that he doesn't agree with his wife's lifestyle, and that he would never let his daughters do Playboy, and I mean, he went on a whole spiel of about the movie Get Out being based on his life. There's no secret that even before Kanye got in that family of what the Kardashians' witchcraft towards black men was, and what they were doing to people, and how the men that entered that family were coming out on the other side. I do feel like Kanye honestly needs help, and I don't feel like they're getting him the help. I think they are more of they are in the mood of doing two things. They use everything he does as publicity, and two, they don't tell him no. And I think that's dangerous to somebody with Kanye's mindset and mental stability, is when you agree with everything they say. Not being strong enough to tell somebody like that no and standing on that is dangerous to who he is.
I think that, like you said, the family environment that he has joined was fully on display before he got there. Now, it did not help in the fact that I think it probably elevated his bipolar disorder.
I agree.
And I know that with people who are bipolar, you can't force them to get help. But I do think that I don't know that there's necessarily anybody pushing for him to get help.
But I even still see people on my timeline like, Kanye ain't crazy, a revolutionary. No, he's not a fucking revolutionary. Kanye West literally needs help.
I feel like we as a society and we as a culture have to do a better job at normalizing people prioritizing their mental health. This is this man's real life. He done got on the internet and called his wife a white supremacist.
I think one of the problems with the black community specifically in regards to mental health is the way we are raised and the way a lot of us have been conditioned to view and see mental health. Go to God for everything, which I'm not saying you shouldn't go to God, but sometimes God's telling you to go to a therapist.
I gave you the tools to look up a therapist.
Ain't nothing wrong with you, and the denial that has happened in the black community regarding mental health and people's mental stability in a way is carried on through generations. I think it's starting to show that denial and that mindset of overlook the mental health, he'll get over it or he'll get through it, or we gonna go to church and pray about. I think that mindset is starting to show to be more harmful than helpful.
I agree, but I also think that a reason, and not trying to normalize it, but I think that you have to understand the reasons why things happen. The reason that Black people don't necessarily take mental health as seriously is because we don't take our health as seriously. We also historically have not been able to afford to go to the doctor. Or when we did go to the doctor wasn't trying to treat us. There's all types of issues that surround Black people and the medical profession, which is a reason why we don't. A Black person's leg will be falling off and hanging off the bone before they decide to go to the hospital. That is,
you look in our elementary schools and junior highs, you have a large, large number of African-American youth that are diagnosed with ADHD, ADD, who probably shouldn't be diagnosed with that. They have other underlying issues. I think it's also a trust thing with our healthcare system.
Yeah, because historically, healthcare in the United States has not been used to help Black people. It's been used to experiment on Black people. In the case of Black women, it's been used to sterilize Black people. Like, we historically haven't been able to trust doctors. And to this day, we still can't trust doctors, because if we go to the doctor and we say we're at a level 10 pain, they discount that to a level 4. Because they either think Black people have a higher pain threshold or we're all there trying to get pills. Like, so I understand maybe why Kanye was not treated for so long or missed out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I think that we also need to encourage him to see Black doctors, people who can actually help him, people who understand his struggle.
Kanye also needs, as Snoop Dogg once said on the Breakfast Club, I think that Kanye also needs some positive, strong, level-headed, level-minded, independent, smart Black queen/Black women in his life. I think that aspect of his life after his mother died, I think that is sort of lacking out of Kanye's life. I think that's something every African-American male needs. Whether he's dating a Black woman or a white woman, I think he needs those kind of women in his life.
This one, ooh, this got my blood Berlin this week, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. J.W. Lucas versus Tamika Mallory, and how dare he fix his Caucasian lips to say one thing to her. But I'm gonna let you go ahead and say how you feel about it first.
I think it was honestly just another Caucasian white male pushing his narrative on somebody that pushing his narrative of what he thinks is going on and telling somebody else that they're wrong. He literally was the epitome of what white privilege and non-understanding is. He didn't let her. He wouldn't let her talk. He told her that he would have more influence in regards to Black Lives Matter than she would, because he's a white man. That's like a white man telling me he knows more about what it's like as a slave, what it's like to be a slave, than I do as a slave.
Okay, so let me backtrack for 1 second. So this all started because he got on Al Gore's internet and started fix his Twitter fingers to started tweeting about Breonna Taylor. First of all, motherfucker, yes. Are you in that life? Are you even about that life? Because the life that you about was some straight up bullshit. The fact that he got on live with Tamika Mallory as she's trying to explain to him why what he said was incorrect, and told her that he should be the leader of Black Lives Matter because he's been out here doing it for Black people, and he cares about Black lives, and basically discounted everything that she's done in her career as an activist, was baby back bullshit. Baby back bullshit. And tell me, who is this? He's supposed to be a producer. Who is he?
People like Jack Harlow and other people. He's a no-name. Honestly, his career is over. I don't even think this should be a topic, because we're not going to hear from him anymore. He literally just destroyed his career with this.
And
he's a hip-hop music producer. It's just not going to work. You're a hip-hop music producer who doesn't identify and or try to understand that the community that you are trying to exploit and make money off of. He doesn't understand this. Why would we? And she told him that. She told him that she will make sure that he does not make any more money in this community. And I hope that happens.
I'm tired of people. Can you please stop spinning? This is a show. he ain't even a guest, y'all. He be here.
So it's just how I do when I'm in this chair.
I'm tired of people eating at the table with us and then discounting us at the very same fucking time. I will make sure, like, I feel like it is every Black person's responsibility to make sure that whoever you are eating at the table with is truly for you. I'm not down for eating or sharing or getting a bag with anybody who ain't for me and who ain't for my people. I'm really not. So I'm all down for making sure that this man never makes another Black dollar. A little bit of a different topic. I don't know if it's necessarily lighter. You're divorced, you tell me. Dr. Dre is getting divorced and he done snuck a prenup in there somewhere that apparently his wife may not have known about. What do you think?
If she signed it, it don't matter if she knew about it or not. Divorces are messy. I don't know anybody's who wasn't. Mine was. You still raise the kids together. So we're very cordial, cool with each other at this point. But at the beginning, they're messy. It's just what it is. I didn't have to worry about a prenup because I didn't have nothing. So I came broke and left broke. I'm still broke. So that's just the logistics of it. But I think if I was rich, are you asking me if I would get a prenup?
I'm asking you, would you sneak in a prenup? Because if you was rich, I would tell you to get a prenup.
Dr. Dre rich. If I'm already rich and I'm with a woman who is, I'm not going to, of a lower social status than me, regardless of where I met her or what she was aspiring to be, I think I would. Yes. Just being honest. I wouldn't sneak it in. I would respectfully ask that you sign a prenup. And I hope that you understand that I'm worth $400 or $500 million and I worked hard for this. I shouldn't have to split my money with someone who doesn't want to be with me anymore. I should be able to walk away with the same thing I came with as well as you. I've always said this. I always tell friends of mine who are females who like to date dope boys. Any man who wines and dines you and turns you into a trophy wife but doesn't teach you how to eat, he doesn't teach you how to get your own, make your own, he only wants you to depend on him, that's a problem.
You know who is a great example of that is Gucci Mane and Keisha Kaur.
Right.
If you really want to look at an example of that, I absolutely agree. My thing about a prenup is, if I got married tomorrow, you sign in a prenup. Because... Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I don't plan on being in the same spot in 10 years. In 10 years, I'm about to have bank in the bank. And yes, you may have been here to support me while we got it, but hopefully you was building your own shit along the way too.
Right. I think that's what a lot of people confuse. They depend on somebody else too much. Don't do
it. I absolutely agree. You got to get it on your own
just like I got to get it on mine. And we got not... With that being said, I think you should be able to mutually meet in the middle and build an empire. But I think too many people depend on another person. I think that is the case in a lot of these celebrity prenuptial divorces where I just seen Tracy Morgan was getting divorced and she wants half of the $95 million settlement that he got for almost dying in a car accident from Walmart. You wasn't in the car with me when I got hit and almost died and was in a coma. I don't remember you being in a coma. Why do you deserve half of that money? I just don't understand these things. And a lot of courts, they side with the women, but I don't understand why when it comes to the, you have to really excuse me.
I'm gonna explain it to you, but I'm also gonna explain the Tracy Morgan thing. The Tracy Morgan thing is, do I think she deserves half of $95 million? Absolutely not. I don't think anybody should get $95 million for anything, personally.
That was the man's fault, and Walmart got it.
Just listen to what I'm saying. I understand why he got 95. I'm just saying that's a lot of money, personally. I do think that she deserves some of that settlement. I will probably give you $13.5 million, because when I was laying in that coma, when I was in the hospital, you was there for me. So you do deserve some reprieve of that money.
Okay, I agree with that.
I agree with that. But like you said, bitch, you wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym. So why would I give you half? That's my issue. Is I think that historically the courts have sided with women because there was a such thing as a stay-at-home mom, where all you did was worried about your children and your household. But right. 2020, you don't have to be, you can be a stay-at-home mom and work. You can be a stay-at-home mom and build a business empire. You can be a stay-at-home mom and make $1 million a year, because there's people out here on the internet who are doing it. So my thing is, but when that divorce comes up in 2020, he has every right to say she could have worked, she just didn't want to.
And a large part of it with these celebrities in particular is the women that they're choosing. They're choosing materialistic, fragile women to marry because they look good on their arm. They're choosing arm candy, and then they get mad. And honestly, let me be real. A lot of these women, you can look at them, just looks. And look at them standing next to the man, and you like, this just don't match up. The dude is 10 shades too ugly and if he wouldn't have money, what? I think that's what you got to ask. If I didn't have this money, could I get you?
And I think another big part of that is like, what are you marrying for? Are you marrying somebody just to be your trophy, just to be your stay-at-home wife who makes your house look pretty? Or are you marrying somebody that you really want to build something with? Because if we're building together, then we're not just building inside this household. We're building in the world. Like, we're both doing something that contributes to this household. And I'm not saying that being a stay-at-home parent doesn't do that. What I'm saying is, in 2020, there is a way to be that stay-at-home parent and still, if a divorce comes about and there is a prenup, you're not asked out in this world. Because that's what's number one for me. Like, I don't care if my husband said, I want you to stay at home, I don't want you to work, that's perfectly fine. But I'm going to do something.
Right.
If I got to fucking sell flip-flops on the internet, I'm going to do that. You never know what's going to happen. Or what if he gets laid off? Then y'all don't have no money at all coming in. Like,
right.
Woman, you're supposed to be your husband's backbone. If he can't come to you and say, we got this issue, I can't pay the mortgage this month, what y'all gonna do? Both of y'all ass out. Like, there is a way to be a stay-at-home parent and focus on your household and still have money coming in. And it wasn't that way historically in the 40s and in, because the internet didn't exist. So that's why the court generally sided with the wife. But I don't necessarily think in the future that'll be the case going forward. I think it's dirty to sneak a prenup on somebody, but like I said, even if I get married tomorrow, there's gonna be a prenup.
And I ain't gonna tell how long they snuck that prenup in there either.
Exactly. Like, and honestly, like, you don't really have to sign that much paperwork when you get married. So how she didn't know she signed a prenup?
I don't even remember signing paperwork at all. I'm not sure I was long enough to even need it.
You wasn't. You definitely did not get divorced. You got an annulment, but that's okay.
Yeah, basically.
That's okay too, honey. But yeah, like, I don't know how you sneak a prenup on somebody, but I do think that if I'm all for prenups, I just feel like if you have a bigger plan for your life, or if you see your life going somewhere else and you want to make sure that your money is protected, having somebody sign a prenup while you poor is not unheard of. And yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing either, because I'm going to do it.
I don't think a prenup's a bad thing. I don't think people should view it as disrespect.
Me either. Because honestly, it's protecting both parties. All right. The next topic we have is the Portland protest. So, your favorite president, Donald Trump, has sent in he sent in DHS troops to protect Portland from the peaceful protesters, because there is a federal courthouse there who apparently had been marred with some graffiti, and some rioters had tried to set it on fire. Now, there is a difference between rioters and protesters. Sometimes people wear both hats. So he has sent in DHS federal agents, which included Customs and Border Patrol, ICE, some U.S. Marshals, just a hodgepodge of different departments. And that ended up causing chaos in Portland. Not only chaos, it ended up causing a lot of people to join protests that probably would not have joined in the first place, and because they saw basically what these federal troops were doing that is unconstitutional. So tell me, what is your take on the 65 days of protest in Portland, and what do you think about what's going on there so far?
I agree with the protests. Fully for the cause that they're protesting for. I think it is a shame that it's come to this, especially in this country. It doesn't surprise me, though, because we've seen this before. This mirrors our past many times over. It mirrors our past. This isn't a thing that happened in the 70s, the 60s. This happened multiple times in our nation's history. It's one of those, it's one of those dark times in our nation's history. As far as I even heard they're going as far as to arrest them, but since they don't actually have any charges to hold them on, they are making them sign waivers saying that they won't protest again, and if they do get caught, they can get fined, and all kinds of crazy tactics that they're coming up with to try to dispel protesters. And as protesters are, as anyone who's passionate about something, they are being vigilant in their beliefs, and they're continuing. They're still going out there every night. They're still fighting a good fight. I mean, what more can you ask for? And it's on both sides. You see black and white people out here. Hell, at this point in Portland, you see more white people.
And I think that was probably one of the biggest things that got me about this whole thing in Portland, is that we're in the year 2020 and our United States government has basically turned troops on innocent protesters. And like you said, it's not the first time that it happened. It happened at Standing Rock, and that was just a few years ago. That was 4 years ago, and that was also Donald Trump. But it's a narrative throughout American history. And I feel like we keep reliving the same bullshit, and it's literally written into history. It ain't the history that they teach you in school, but it's American history, the real American history. We keep reliving the same bullshit because as a country, we haven't learned a lesson, and we haven't reconciled with those lessons that we're supposed to learn yet. What's happening in Portland is, well, what has happened is absolutely, completely, and utterly ridiculous. The use of chemical agents against United States citizens is against the Geneva Convention. There's so many human rights violations. The ACLU has opened up cases.
And gas, they're banned in wartime, yet they're being used against United States citizens. Exactly. They're legally banned in wars.
And how is that possible? How is that okay? There's so many negative factors that are leading up to this election, and especially with the rhetoric that Donald Trump is already using to try to illegitimize the election, especially with what they're doing to the post office right now. especially with what they're doing to protesters. And what gets me is I see so many people from the right, because I watch a lot of protest streams. I watch a lot from Kentucky and I watch a lot from Portland, because that's where a lot of human rights violations are popping off at recently. And what kills me is the right is generally for like smaller government and government not being involved in, like big government not being involved in city politics. So what I don't understand is why so many people who consider themselves Republican conservatives are for the government sending troops into our city.
They're there to fight and push back against Black Lives Matter. And I think that's the reason they're for it specifically. If this was honestly, I hate to say it, but this is a white cause, I think the Republicans would be on our side.
I still don't understand how you can so starkly turn against your core, what makes you a Republican. Like, that's the stronghold that they have, is saying we're against the federal government coming in and telling the cities what to do, telling the states what to do. Everything should be state run. So how can you, it's a juicy contradiction, the time that we're living in right now. Trump is just, I'm gonna go watch Black is King again, because I just need to be surrounded by Black excellence at all times.
When that move forever, I might have to play that in a couple, in 3 or 4 years of my next wedding reception or something.
I'm saying that
song is a bop, man.
Listen, like, I'm so inspired right now to just go to Africa. Like,
I'm probably about to just sit on the couch and just smile because I'm Black. Like, just sit and smile because I am a Black man.
It gave me everything, like, especially like right now when racial tensions is so high, and when you read the comments of things on Facebook and on the internet, it really does just like drag Black people through the mud on a daily basis. Like, my energy has been so low, and just after, like, I feel like she reconnected me with something in my Blackness that I had forgotten about this week. Like, I needed it. I needed 2020 needed Black is King. That's all.
I agree. Hopefully we pay attention to it like we should. Keep it trending and keep it going and keep the visuals coming.
I absolutely agree. And I think that we as a society need to soak in that message and truly live, like, connect to that Blackness in us and live like we are the kings that we truly are meant to be.
Right.
Like, so I'm going to go ahead and end the show with that. It's all love, and we will see you later.